This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Jason Bishop. Cakes will be back on Monday, but EB is heading to Ocean City, right?
Ocean City, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Cakes will be back on Tuesday. Yeah, 3-day weekend, my friend.
Nice.
You slumber on that.
So that holds that's
Cakes
good.
Did the wraparound.
That means I'm only using 4 days of my vacation.
Yeah. Next week.
Yeah, nice. I'm excited. I'm
But you said you already looked at the weather and it's gonna be terrible.
Weather looks like it's supposed to literally it says like it's like
storms
a 40
every day.
Or 50% chance of rain every day. Yeah, now, some of that is like afternoon storm
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine. But if I'm in there and it's just pouring rain every day.
Are you doing your tent bit? The people that come out and set up the tent?
They don't let you do it. No, that's only in Outer Banks.
Okay. Yeah.
As far as I know, in Ocean City, they don't allow tents.
I've never seen tents there.
But I will have an umbrella.
Of course.
100%. And I'll have a little cooler. And I'm just going to
chill.
I actually don't like to get a lot of sun. I like to be under an umbrella or a tent, and I like to just drink.
Mm-hmm.
And
chill.
Watch the waves.
Yeah.
And ponder
just listen
life.
To the ocean. Just smell the air. When I get near an ocean, I get blood flow. I get so sized. It's just something about it. I'm instantly relaxed. I'm comfortable. I can't wait.
It's the way it is. I mean,
I'm telling you, I can't wait.
I mean, even if you can't enjoy the beach. I just think of my father in the last few years of his life on the balcony of our apartment in Puerto Rico on the 17th floor.
Just wants to hear the ocean.
Kind of coffee, a newspaper. And
yeah.
Just, you know, he was in a wheelchair at that time, so we didn't really take him out to the beach, but just being out there, he was having a good time.
Oh, my dad hated the sand.
Right.
My dad was kind of he was like an intellectual, right? My dad would go to the beach with pants on.
And shoes.
Oh, he didn't have like flip-flops.
Right, he would wear shoes on.
My dad never owned...
Wingtips?
I'm pretty sure my dad never owned flip-flops.
Right? I don't remember when we were kids.
He would go to the beach in pants.
EB and I, of course, grew up across the street from each other. Our families were close and remain close. I don't remember you guys really going to the beach.
We would go to Virginia Beach. We would go to Ocean City.
Okay.
But we would stay, you know where we stayed the most.
Did you ever stay for a week or you just go for like a couple days here and there?
I don't really remember.
Yeah, I don't remember you guys like going away for a week.
Where we always stayed is that Holiday Inn right off the bridge. What is that? What street is that one, Valdez?
60th.
The swim up pool bar or whatever. Have you ever stayed at that Holiday Inn?
Right off which bridge?
Yeah, which...
I like it around 60th inlet? Street, 67th yeah, so, Street or something like that, whatever right. that is.
I know exactly
what
it is.
We always stayed at that Holiday Inn.
We would stay. My mother would take me to the... First of all, my mom would drive down to the beach for the day. She right. loved the beach so much. She'd go down for the day.
Right.
That's a lot
I don't
of
have
driving.
That in me. That's a lot of driving.
I mean, I guess she took me when I was a kid,
right.
but I would never do that. Anyway, we would stay at the Beach Mark. You know where the Beach Mark?
I know I've driven by that.
That thing is so old. It's got a big green sign.
Right.
And we would stay there.
It's like a motel.
It was probably,
isn't that a Bishmark? Motel? That's
yeah,
not even a hotel. It's a motel.
Oh, yeah, because you enter from the outside.
Yeah,
yes.
yeah, the motel's
probably. It was probably $30 a night back
yeah,
then.
Right, right.
But that's where we would go.
There's nothing on the Plim Plaza.
Well, it, no. sometimes, so we would go there. But then later, when the kids got older and I was like working or I was in college, we would stay at the Sea Watchers, which was one of those big condos.
Yeah.
And we'd stay up on the top floor because they'd have like 3-bedroom condos or whatever. But there were times where.
And your pops would walk down in pants?
He didn't go to the beach very often. Usually,
yeah, I didn't
his
think
move,
so.
99% of the time, was sit on the balcony and he would do work.
I can't picture him going down the beach.
But every once in a while, he would go to the beach in polyester pants. I'm not kidding.
He'd never swim?
Never. In the ocean?
Yeah.
Never.
I don't know. My dad used to swim in the ocean like a maniac.
Wool socks.
But what was the reasoning?
Just didn't like it.
He's a Midwest guy. He's a Midwest guy.
He's just like a. My dad was just like a. He was just an intellectual. I don't know what to tell you. He
was intellectual.
He just always liked to read. He didn't like to do stuff like
no
that.
No time for goofing off.
He didn't really goof around. He was just always working, right?
He would throw like one
reason,
pitch.
I think one reason is, and this is an honest to God true story. I think I've told you this before, is that my dad nearly died when he was like 14 years old. This is an epic story. Mm. He got into I think it was just coincidental. But he got into a fight with the neighborhood bully. And it was one of those deals where the whole neighborhood watched them fight. And it was like for an hour, okay? And the claim to fame, the family lore is that my dad defeated the bully. Mm-hmm.
David versus Goliath.
Yeah, and it was like, the guy's name was like the Gooch or something. I mean, the Gooch, you know. And no, this is a true story.
What town was this?
Bloomington, Illinois.
All right, okay.
Bloomington, Illinois. This is a true story.
Sounds like an 80s movie.
No, they fought for like an hour, and it was in those days in like the 40s, right? The late 40s, early 50s, uh-huh. where parents didn't intervene. They just let kids
kids. Yeah.
And he fought the bully and won, mm-hmm. and he says he remembers coming back in the house and putting on a fresh white T-shirt and walking around like he was king of the world, mm-hmm. right? And then I think it was just sort of coincidental. But after that, he got sick, and he was either polio or something like polio, okay? To the point where he was bedridden, the doctor came in, and told my grandmother that there was nothing they could do. They literally, I swear to God, they pulled the sheet over him and they said, he's gone.
Wow.
My grandfather wouldn't take that answer. I swear to God, this is a true story. And gave him mouth to mouth.
You don't have to tell us that.
It's so unbelievable.
We believe you.
It's so unbelievable. My grandfather gave him mouth to mouth. And allegedly,
so he wasn't
breathing.
He wasn't
his
breathing.
Dad.
Yeah, my grandfather, my dad's dad, and he eventually, slowly but surely, got healthy again. But as a result of that polio-like illness that he had, I don't think they ever confirmed if it was polio or not. His calves, he had to learn how to walk all over again. So I'm talking about he was months sick. His calves are nubs.
Atrophy.
He had and so I think he was embarrassed.
Right.
And so he didn't like to wear shorts.
Pants on the beach.
Is that what
it was?
Pants on
the beach.
So he never.
That's a wild story.
That's a wild story, but that is my uncle would testify to it.
And I remember hearing this story. Wasn't he out for like a minute or two?
No, he was dead. They declared him dead.
That's what I'm saying. It was a long time.
And my grandfather didn't accept it. And
gave him silly mouth to mouth.
Mouth to mouth that somehow, I mean, that's the lore. I questioned it, but my uncle and my father told that story many, many times.
Right.
I never heard that story.
That's a Nubs doctor.
Nubs doctor.
Pulled the sheet Nubs over.
Pulled the sheet over him. They docked him off.
It's the 40s. They didn't have fancy machines.
But I think, and I don't know this for a fact, but I think my dad was embarrassed by his nub calves. Like his legs, they atrophied or whatever. He had to learn how to walk all over again. He had corrective shoes, you know, all that kind
he
of stuff.
He never had that silly Eric Bickle photo.
No.
He's like Forrest Gump has the leg braces.
Pummeled.
I thought he was a baseball guy. I mean, I think your Uncle George.
He was a pitcher. My uncle was a catcher.
His dad, like, Amy and I, when we were kids, would play. So his dad had an office across the street from Eric's house, which was actually next door to my house.
Yeah.
And his dad would go from his house, walk across the street to his office, and then he would come back for lunch or something like that. And Eric and I would be playing. His dad would always do the one move. He'd take one ball, and he'd throw one pitch.
And then he's out.
And that was it.
Because his arm was shot.
It was just like, hey, guys, good to see you playing. Boom, throw one ball. And that was it.
Right.
That's crazy.
Isn't that a crazy story?
Yeah.
But I think that's why he never really felt comfortable, like in shorts or whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Did he ever wear shorts around the house?
Never.
No.
My dad wore a jacket virtually every day of his life. So he'd wear a jacket, and it may be in the summer, over a golf shirt, but he always wore like a sport coat. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Carlton.
He probably ran cold like you. Always
know,
cold.
That's just... It was a great guy.
Well, we were going to talk Commanders, but that's a much better story.
All right, hold on. Let's go real quick. Let's go to Jason. Jason's talking about the beach tents.
Jay.
Jason, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on? You could definitely use a beach tent in Ocean City, man. I did last year.
Okay.
They don't care as long as you're not in front of the lifeguard stand. But, yeah, set up your beach tent, you know, 100 square foot, and you know, pour your beers in a red cup, and you can get away with it. But yeah, they don't ban beach tests in Ocean City, man. It's not Myrtle Beach.
They don't. Okay.
Nope.
Okay. All right.
So
I
you're good to
that.
Go.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Drink out of a red Solo cup, and you're straight, man.
Yeah. 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 For sure. Well, you know what I did the last time I was there when I stayed at the Fenwick Inn.
Yeah.
Remember I was there last
because
my son was playing in a lacrosse tournament. I just went to the 7-Eleven and just bought some seltzers because right, you know, they have that 7-Eleven right there. I just brought cans.
You're in Ocean City an awful lot.
If I want to go to the beach and just...
Well, it's
so
it's
convenient.
Close.
I know, but Eric's always...
He's always killed
on
Ocean City. I know.
Killed it.
White
trash. Cigarette butts everywhere.
Oceans, dirty water.
Fat Pennsylvania people coming down. Now he's the king of Ocean City.
I'm not the king, but it is convenient. I'm not the king. My brother...
You wouldn't have been caught dead there. And now you're there every other weekend.
No, I used to go there when I was growing up. My brother says the bully's name, Skeeter Jones.
So it wasn't the Gooch.
Skeeter.
That's what
he pummeled Skeeter.
Me. He says, my brother's heard
it's
the story.
Chad
too.
Or Matt?
Matt. He said the guy's name was Skeeter Jones.
I need to get confirmation from the third brother to break
the
tie. Is it Skeeter or Gooch?
Joe, what's up, buddy?
What's up, man? Love the show as always. Man, that's a crazy story, Bickle. I think we need Miss Bickle on for a little confirmation. I believe you, but we need the lowdown on
well,
it.
I mean, she wasn't there, everything. But she's heard the story a million times. You can call her if you
she
want.
She would probably know the story better.
Yeah, I mean.
That was awesome.
That's a true story. And she might be able to tell you. Now, I do know this, that late in his life, you know, because he tried to stay healthy, he would swim a lot, but he would just go to, like, the PG.
He went to, like, the YMCA.
The rec centers.
Yeah, yeah. You know the one over there by FedEx Field? There's that beautiful complex that they built
Sport
over
Learn.
There. Whatever that is. There was a huge complex there. He would go swimming there. So, obviously, he had shorts there when he would go swimming. I think I've told you this before. My image of swimming is sometimes we would stay in, like, a Nubs motel, and you'd go to the Nubs motel pool, and my dad would hold his breath and play dead.
Would he?
I always thought he was dying. But he was just trying to see us.
Around.
He would literally float like a dead man.
Right.
And I'm a kid. I didn't know what he was, but he liked to hold
but
his
I think
breath.
I saw your pop swim a few times. He was also kind of like a slow swimmer, right?
He was a slow swimmer.
Like he would kind of go like
it
this.
It was Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
Nice
but I mean, a lot of older people are like that.
No, but very
just
slow.
Kind of like... Oh, yeah. I remember seeing him swim.
He didn't have a money leg kick. Drabby, you want to get my mom on? She can
definitely. I could talk about this for two more hours.
All right, well, you want to book her for the next segment.
It's hard to leg kick when they're so tiny.
The calves. Calves couldn't do it.
No, I think my father had regular sized thighs.
It was just the calf.
He said meaty thighs.
The calves were very tiny.
Really? Embarrassing.
Well, he was embarrassed because he didn't.
He had toothpicks.
He didn't develop, you know, his muscles atrophied when he was
like,
sick.
It looked like right. SpongeBob.
Dude, that was a different time. We can't even relate. Like, I don't even know what polio is or was. But, like, can you imagine living in that time?
Yeah, it was like a greaser fight from the outsiders.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was.
Skeeter or Gooch?
Carlton Skeeter. Pay-per-view.
I'm going to go with Skeeter.
I'm sure he's right. Isn't the Gooch like from like that's different like, strokes or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Wasn't that like Gary Coleman's nemesis?
I think so.
The Gooch?
Yes. All right. If you want to chime in, it is an open line Thursday, 800-636-1067. 1067. You can always call us on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. Open line Thursday. Presented by Window Nation. Searching for new windows and doors? Search windownation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home, because it's where you live.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. So we got into a tangent because EB is going to be off next week. Cakes comes back. He's going to Ocean City. And somehow we were talking about his pops, and he said his pops never really liked to go in the ocean.
We were talking about going to the beach.
Right, that your dad used to wear pants on the beach. He had small calves.
I think that's why. My mom might be able to dispute that.
You told the story of how he... got in a fight with either the Gooch or Skeeter.
No, no. My brother's right. Skeeter.
We did put it up Skeeter. As the Junkies poll of the day, though.
Yeah.
What is the better bully nickname? Skeeter or the Gooch?
I think the Gooch.
You can vote at Junks Radio. That's brought to you by Van Meter Homes.
All right, let's put my mom on. I know she's running around. She's a little anxious. Mom?
Hi.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Miss B.
Why are you... Drabby said you were being a pain in the butt.
He didn't say that.
What's going on?
I can only give just a very few minutes. I'm on my way out.
Why? What's so busy?
I have to be at church at 9, and I'm going up to pray for this morning for what the church has been doing. This is the end of a week of giving to the community, serving others in the name of Christ. So I'm going up to pray this morning.
All right, but that can wait 5 minutes.
I have to be there at a certain time.
All right.
So Eric just told an amazing story. We called you for, and I don't know if Grab told you, Eric told an amazing story, true story, about how your husband, Carl, nearly died. And in fact, his dad, Eric's grandfather, your kid's grandfather, resuscitated him. What do you know about that story?
Well, I think he was younger than what was mentioned to me, but I don't know for sure.
Was he about like 13 or something?
I don't think he was that old yet.
Okay. But
anyway, he wrestled the town bully, which was unlike him. I don't know. I don't know what happened, because that was unlike your dad. I can't imagine him fighting anybody. But
right.
I guess somebody must have
gotten... Was the guy's name Skeeter Jones? That's what Matt said.
I don't know the last name. Skeeter's right. I don't know the last name.
Skeeter is right.
Skeeter.
But go ahead.
And so, anyway, for some reason, your dad got involved with a fight with him, and he fought him really hard, and he won.
Right.
So I guess there was a lot of happiness about that among some of the kids. And then Dad went home. And the next thing I know about this jury is that he was on the bed. They had him on the bed, I guess. And the neighbor said, he said to Carl's mother, you might as well cover him up. You know, it's too late. He's gone. And his father went over to the bed, and he resuscitated him with, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And I didn't even know they did that then.
Right. That was a long time ago.
Right.
And so then when he came out of it, I don't know too much except that he was paralyzed. And he had to learn to walk, and he had to crawl first. Crawl and then learn to walk.
Can you imagine being like 8 or 9 years old or 10, whatever he was, and then you have to learn how to walk all over again, you know? Didn't they think it was like a polio-like illness?
That's what they thought it might have been, yes, because they couldn't figure out what it was. And I don't know if they did the tests and that they would do now.
Right.
But that's what they were thinking. He probably had polio, but why he got it so suddenly, I don't know. You know, but people were very sick with polio at that time. I had a cousin in the iron lung, and my piano teacher's daughter was in an iron lung. And both of these people did survive polio after being in an iron lung for a while.
I don't even know what that is, but I don't want to get off on a tangent.
Sounds scary.
So the bottom line is that Dad always had the skinny calves, and he said it was from when he had that sickness, and I'm sure it is, right? And he had to relearn how to walk again, and his muscles atrophied, et cetera. Is that why he never wore shorts, like to the beach?
I doubt it.
Why
would he wear pants to the beach?
I don't know. I don't know.
You never asked him that?
What did your mom wear to the beach? Would she wear a bathing suit?
Yeah,
of bikini. Course. I still would wear a bathing suit, even though it doesn't look too good.
My mom actually would rock a bikini.
She wore a two-piece?
Yes. Mom had a green. I'll never forget. Mom had a green bikini.
She was showing off underbutt.
It was a two-piece suit.
It was a two-piece. That's a bikini.
Teeny-weeny bikini.
Yeah, titillating.
Yeah, she was showing off her tickles.
Was she trying to get a tan?
Oh, my goodness.
Mom, it's...
Your dad was...
What?
In his, when I met your dad, he was overweight. And then before we got married, he lost weight.
Right.
And he kept his weight off until he got into his 40s. And then he began to put weight on.
Right.
Probably mid-40s.
Right. Kind of like Matt.
You love clapping Matt.
I'm just teasing him.
Goodness.
But, Mom...
And your dad... I remember him being in a bathing suit when he was younger, and he looked fine.
When we were kids, he rarely went to the beach. He would stay. If we stayed to the Holiday Inn, he'd sit up on the balcony.
He didn't come down to the sand.
He'd sit up on the balcony and just listen, and he'd read his books.
So your mom would take the kids down.
Yes, and you could see Dad sitting on the balcony.
He'd wave
but
to you.
But on the rare occasion he would go there, I can remember him wearing pants and like wool socks.
Right, yes. I kind of think he didn't like the sand, probably.
Well,
I don't
for
know.
Sure of that.
He didn't like that sand getting in
but
his
like,
clothes.
But, like, he didn't wear shorts around the house.
No, I don't know why.
My dad would mow the lawn in pants.
Yeah, but I think kind of our era, like, can't even picture, like, Cakes' dad or my dad really wearing shorts.
Well, I saw Cakes' dad in his tighty whities.
That we did see on occasion, which was weird.
Yeah.
Well, my husband didn't run around that way.
No.
No, Mean Gene would just answer the door that way.
Or do pull-ups from the tree. Yeah.
Anyway, I feel that God spared his life, you know?
Yeah,
They could have covered him up, and you wouldn't have been here, Eric, if they'd have covered
That's
him
right.
up.
Now, you said that was a neighbor. Was the neighbor a doctor, or was just a neighbor checking on him?
No, just a good neighbor that I think had a close relationship with the family and with your grandpa.
Okay.
Yeah. No doctor.
Right.
I don't even know if they took him to a doctor.
Whatever happened to Skeeter?
I don't know. I don't know if he ever fought again. I don't know.
Mom, do you remember what? Because what beach? Do you remember did you take us to the beach every summer when we were kids?
No, because we always went to Ohio and Illinois. You know,
right?
We always did that,
but
so we didn't always have time. I think to do both things.
Right.
And when you were really little, we didn't have a lot of money. The church was trying to be built, and you know, they had trouble sometimes paying your dad, but they did.
No, I know. I tell the guys they don't believe me. Dad went one whole year without getting paid 1 year.
Well, I don't know. I guess that's true, but I don't know. I don't want to say.
Yeah,
but
she knows it's true.
I don't know.
How'd you guys pay for things? Did you just have money saved
some
up?
Savings in it, you know.
The secretary, she juggled paying up. You know, she delayed paying some bills so she could pay us. And
and I think his mother sent him some money, you know.
I'm telling you, we're nubs. We didn't live like nubs.
We just live like middle class. That's okay.
Sure, but we didn't have any dough. Mom, you made me return my $14 Trax Kmart shoes.
I'm proud to be middle class. That's what most people are, and I'm proud to be middle class.
That's fine, but we were just
She has a problem with the nubs term.
We were broke as a joke.
Now, you guys didn't have to pay a mortgage because the house was owned by the church.
That was part of the salary was getting to stay in the house.
Yes.
Until we bought it.
Right, right. Understood. But I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
I think that.
You still have all the other costs.
Yeah. You got to eat.
And I think that when we were, by the time we got our third or fourth child, we decided we better start, you know, getting some equity. Yeah. So, I don't know. We took out a 30-year mortgage and we paid it off.
Charging more for piano lessons.
No wonder your dad was skinny. Couldn't afford food.
Yeah.
He wasn't skinny.
Well, he wasn't skinny, but his calves were skinny. So, you don't remember. I distinctly remember Dad kind of insinuating to me at some point that he was a little embarrassed about his little skinny calves.
Well, I never heard him say anything like that to me, but
he never
I
did.
Don't know.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, that was my theory anyway. I guess I was.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that was a Johnny Drama plot line on Entourage. Maybe you happened to watch that episode.
I think the funny part is that this guy who probably never was in a fight in his life fought the neighbor bully and, you know, ended up almost being his demise.
Right.
Hey,
right.
But he won the fight. 1-0.
He did. It's
better than I could say.
Like Skeeter won.
Yeah. almost beat him to death.
You could look at it that way. Yeah, for sure.
And just remember, he was a pitcher for his team for a while, and he said he used to pray for rain.
So he wouldn't have to pitch.
Wouldn't have to go out there.
Yeah. Honestly, my uncle, this is a true story. My uncle was drafted by, the Cardinals. In literally the 58th round or something, right?
And then still drafted.
He was drafted as a catcher. And my uncle didn't, or my grandfather didn't tell him.
Oh.
Because he didn't want him to be a Nubs minor league nubber.
Right? So he was like Freddie Freeman's agent info.
He didn't tell him.
So he never played.
No, he never got the opportunity to say yes or no or whatever. So
was he drafted out of high school or did he go to college?
High school. And then I think he went to a Korean War or something. One of the wars. I don't know.
He went to a war.
He went to something. But my dad was the opposite. My dad, I think his legend was he was 0-14 as a starter.
They kept putting him out there. You got to be good enough to start.
My uncle was money.
Oh, Carl Corbin.
Exactly.
Wasn't there a guy, there's only one guy ever in Major League Baseball that's lost 20 games? They say you have to actually be pretty good
to
lose 20 games.
They kept putting my dad out there.
Right.
Right.
Imagine the rest of the guys.
May I have one other thing?
Yeah.
we look kind of, this is not looking very good for our family, maybe, but anyway, your dad's father tutored Adlai Stevenson, you know, the one who ran for president. So he was a pretty smart man.
Yeah, he tutored him, but Adlai Stevenson, which I don't even know, was he a president or just ran? He's the one who lost to Truman. Isn't he the one that held up the paper?
Isn't that Dewey?
Oh, that's Dewey. Dewey. Yeah. I'm sorry. Who did Adlai Stevenson run against, Mom?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Sorry. Well,
so my grandfather's claim to fame is he tutored that guy and he tutored the guy from MASH. What was it?
Stevenson lost to Eisenhower.
No, who's the guy from MASH? Remember, I always tell you, he always held up the sign and said he was from Bloomington, Illinois. But
McLean Stevenson?
McLean Stevenson.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. That sounds right.
So they love tutoring Stevenson.
Awesome. McLean Stevenson was awesome.
Stevenson.
Adlai and McLean.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, when I go to my prayer meeting this morning, I'm going to say a prayer for you guys, too, okay?
Thank you.
That'll not be on the agenda, but it'll be on my agenda.
All right.
Okay.
Especially say one for Valdez. I feel like he really needs one.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, Mom.
Nice to talk with you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye, Mom. Love you.
Love you.
Okay.
She pretty much confirmed your story.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, it's a true story.
Some details.
Okay, the neighbor, not a doctor, but that's about the only detail I got wrong.
I think it was pretty solid from both ends. That's how stories are, man.
Isn't that an incredible story?
Yeah, I can't believe you never told that.
I think I have.
Well, you didn't tell it to me. I don't know.
I think I've told it on the air before and you just spaced it. It's been 26 years.
Yeah, probably.
I think I have told it before. But anyway, it's even, I keep saying, I'm not lying, because it's so crazy.
And little radio insider, I think Mr. Bickle was one of our biggest supporters and proponents of the show when we started. When we started out, he used to tape every episode with cassette tapes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when I would drive back to Philly, I used to take his tapes. He'd give them to me. And then I would listen to him on the ride back to Philly to be like, oh, yeah, I think Under Skin, we should do that next week. It's good. You know? Like take notes listening to our shows.
He was huge.
I think he did that for about 75, maybe even 100 shows, and then realized, hey, they're going to stick around a little bit.
Yeah. No, he was a huge supporter of us.
He was.
Which is great. Anyway, there you go. Sorry. I don't know how we got off into that tangent.
That's a good one.
Well, you're going to Ocean City.
I'm going to Ocean
City. And the legend is your dad had small calves.
Yeah,
and he wore pants.
And you're going to Ocean City on Saturday.
I'm going Saturday, and because my family's coming and going at all different times, I'm scheduling people. So like I told Matt, I said, you bring your family, come Saturday, Sunday, because my wife's not coming until Sunday night. You know, I'm just telling people come and go. Valdez, come on Thursday.
Can you imagine the blood flow for Eric because he's going to be at the beach and it's Tiger Week.
Oh, he's playing in the Open Championship?
No. He's playing in the J.P. McManus Pro-Am.
Oh, well, can't get excited for that.
I was going to say, I didn't think the Open was this
much. By the way, did you guys talk about, I think it was while I was away, the picture of Tiger's leg? Did you actually see it in the shorts?
We talked about it.
I think it looked hectic.
It looked nuts.
Now you know why he's limping.
It looked like your dad's calf.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of golf.
By the way, he always had really thin legs, too.
Yeah.
When we come back, let's talk about what's going on with the LIV Tour. They got another tournament.
Oh, yes.
And apparently they're partying it up. We'll get into that next here in the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. So we've spent a lot of time in the last month talking about the LIV Tour and started with kind of an idea, wondering who's going to go from the PGA Tour to the LIV Tour. Would the PGA Tour ban these guys? And I guess they have from the regular events, but they were still able to play in the majors. And now all of a sudden you look at the LIV Tour lineup and you've got Dustin Johnson, former number one player in the world, Phil Mickelson, who's won a bunch of majors, Brooks Koepka, former number one player in the world, won a bunch of majors.
Sergio's
won a major.
Sergio
DeChambeau's won a major.
DeChambeau.
So they have some of the biggest names in golf.
But they got four huge names. It's so interesting. And my buddy breaks my balls because I'm pro LIV, and it's just because I'm always just like pro player, get your money in every sport. I kind of support them. Mm-hmm. But it is, you have to acknowledge like the douchebag tour. Like all the guys in there are basically like Patrick Reed, who's also won. How many majors is Patrick won?
One.
Patrick Reed is like a douche.
I've heard that about Patrick Reed.
He's cheated.
He's known for being kind of a douche.
Patrick Reed cheated. Why is he a douche or cheater?
Patrick Reed,
he's cheated on the course.
His nickname is Table for One. Like, nobody wants to
see him. Nobody likes him.
Yes. He just has that person. Right, like Kevin Na.
Doesn't he hate his parents or something?
Yeah, he's got a thing with his parents. Like, he's got, like, an Aaron Rodgers thing with his parents.
What about Dustin Johnson? He's just kind of boring?
He's not hated.
He's not hated. He's just kind of dumb. He's just kind of dull. And he was suspended probably for using coke. Whatever.
Right, Phil Fig Jam.
Fig Jam, right?
All right.
Very controversial. But he's actually loved by fans.
Yeah, loved Koepka. By fans.
Koepka,
he looks ornery.
He's just an ornery douche. Yeah.
But there's some guy like Usti's not hated.
No.
You know Lee Westwood's
popular. A likable guy. But
Graham McDowell, like
Sergio, douche.
Yeah. There's a few of them, no
Although
doubt.
Although he's one of those guys. Maybe
Ian
this
Poulter.
Is
Ian Poulter.
Isn't Sergio one of those guys though, that Feinstein says is like great?
He is great. We met him at the Palm. He's off air great on the course douche.
Yeah, but he throws a temper tantrum.
He tears up the course.
I did respect the fact, didn't he wear his green jacket around a lot?
Yeah, he wore it everywhere. I like that. I like that. He's enjoying it. So I get a kick out of watching these guys play golf, too. I like it. But it is, in my opinion, it's kind of the douchebag tour so far. But they do have a ton of names.
Oh,
and
yeah.
As I keep saying, What this tells you is not only these guys like just grabbing the money, they're offering, they're just going to take it and consequences be damned. And it's hard for me to criticize it because it's, I mean, it's ridiculous amounts of money. But it shows you that, man, there are a lot of guys that are unhappy with the tour because more guys are coming every week. Like Abraham Answer, right? I think he's
well,
over there now.
It's not just that, but it's the young guys.
Younger
it's
guys.
It's the amateur
coming.
That's coming out of Oklahoma State, number two ranked amateur in the world.
Like it is.
And look what he's risking. Now, who knows what he's getting? He might be getting, I don't know, $10 million, whatever. But you could see why the 40 somethings would do it or the 50 somethings. But
so,
when the young guys are doing it,
apparently,
like the Taylor Gooches of the world, that's a big risk.
You only have like eight events. They love the 54-hole format, the shotgun start, the great equalizer. You get more free time, et cetera. But part of the deal is you obviously have to do these meet and greets. They still have – actually, the LIV Golf Tour has a pro-am they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's video of this party. I think it was last night for the pro-am, and then maybe they're picking their teams every week.
Yeah, it's,
I don't
a, know. It's
they
a draft.
Draft. They
it's
do a
like
draft
a draft
every
party.
Week. Yeah. And so the guys are all dressed up. They look like $1 billion. And Pat Perez is wearing like this money shirt. Like Pat Perez is known for being sort of an outrageous personality.
Not like money shirt, but no. Legit money shirt.
Dollar bills on
dollar
it.
Bills $100 shirt, bills. Just like flaunting.
That's just an FU to Monahan.
Yeah, just an FU to everybody.
Right. Although he's part of kind of a douchey team. If you're going to root for the team, the four aces, Dustin Johnson.
Yeah.
Patrick, he's the captain. Patrick Reed.
Yeah.
Pat Perez. And he be your boy, the Gooch, Taylor Gooch.
Taylor Gooch, yeah. Right. I actually like Pat Perez. He's done a radio show,
funny.
Podcast. He's a hilarious guy.
I think he's funny. Yeah.
And, you know, what's funny is he's another one that did a 180 because he attacked these guys. He attacked Phil for not acknowledging that you were doing it for the money.
Right.
But then he said they came to him, and he says, like, winning the lottery. Because I think the word is they offered Pat Perez $10 million.
Is that what they said?
Yeah. Can you imagine? $10 million
up front.
How old
is he, 45?
He's 46 years old. He's had a lot of injuries. You
barely,
know, those guys
barely are, plays.
They can barely play.
He's only made three cuts this year.
Yeah, he's struggling.
How does Brooks Koepka not draft his brother? His brother's
he
on
did.
A different team.
No, his brother's
oh,
on.
Okay, yeah, you know what? I misread
his brother's on his team.
But anyway, the video is just kind of interesting of all these guys at the, you know, just.
I like that. The douchebag
looks
tour.
Like they're at the. The club.
Jason, you got to actually watch this video. This mixer welcome party. It's just them in like an industrial warehouse last night.
Just boozing.
A meet and greet. Boozing for the tournament. Just one big party. And EB's calling them the D-bags. They look like, to me, it's a little bit younger for you guys, like the NWO when it was this faction in wrestling that was split. And just all-time villains wore black and white.
Hulk Hogan turned bad.
Hulk Hogan turned heel. Like, they should embrace this.
I think they kind of are.
Yes. I lean into this more. Embrace being the bad guys.
I mean, Norman certainly is. Norman's tweet trolling the PGA Tour.
I know.
And like stats and like how young people are into the LIV Tour. And then he's tagging the PGA Tour.
Yeah, if you want to get young people into it, lean into what they're doing a little bit and just being the bad guys.
And then Norman looks like the King Poobah of all the bad guys. He looks like the last villain in a video game.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually pretty great theater. Now,
I wonder if deep down it's doing better than what Norman even expected. Because
it looked dead
obviously
a few weeks
the
ago.
Saudis were working on Phil. That was their main target, right? Mm-hmm. And Phil got in trouble for what he said. Then they are able to land Dustin Johnson. But I'm wondering if Greg Norman, who's running it, thought he was going to be able to, like the dominoes of Patrick Reed, then Brooks Koepka, Sergio. Like, they are adding some big names.
For sure.
It may have exceeded what he expected.
Well, you might be right. You might be right.
I think at this point it has.
I don't know if he expected the big, huge names that they've gotten in the first two events.
Well, I think originally, before the backlash, before Phil, the Alan Shipnuck came out with the Phil stuff, I think they had most of these guys. I think a lot of them, even guys that say they wouldn't do it, like Jordan Spieth and all of these guys, I think they were very much involved in potentially coming over. But the backlash was so big that it turned them off, and they didn't want to deal with it. But anyway, there's an article in, I think it was Golf Week or something, might have been just golf.com, where Freddie Couples is interviewed. And Freddie...
Oh, he hates the Live Tour. He hates the all tour. These guys.
He is all in. He's an old schooler, old head.
He's talking so much crap.
He supports the PGA Tour big time. And, you know, he brings up some good points. He goes, have you seen the interviews? Have you seen Phil look so stupid in his life? They know it's a joke. Like, so Phil's done two interviews recently. He did the one when he announced he was coming to the Live Tour, and then he did one where he had to defend himself before the U.S. Open.
Yep.
And, you know, those were pretty much everybody considered them embarrassments for Phil. He just doesn't have good answers. And then he takes a shot at Pat Perez, who's won three times on tour, but let's be honest, Pat Perez is a journeyman.
Sure.
He's a character. But he's a journeyman.
He's made $28 million in 20 years.
Right.
So he's basically making $1 million a year.
You could go to YouTube and you could Google like a Pat Perez Cribs episode that like one of the golf things that he lives in an unbelievable place.
Is that Arizona?
It might be Vegas.
He lives in Scottsdale and he has massive Jordan collection.
He's sponsored by Jordan. Yes. Right? And he's big into Jordans. He's got a whole... It looks like it'd be a museum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Of sneakers.
Wall to wall.
Yeah.
You're right. He's a big
sneakerhead. But Pat Perez is a fascinating guy, but Couples trashes him. He says, I heard of all people, Perez was being a little confrontational. They were trying to get Perez to comment on the Saudi stuff. He says, look, man, I'm just a golfer. I'm just here to play golf.
Right.
And I know those are horrible things.
And you know what? That's probably the best answer. For all those guys, that's an honest answer.
Yes. Stop saying you're trying to grow the game. You're not trying to grow the game. You're just trying to get paid and you're a professional golfer. But he said... Couple said he's a grain of sand in this tour. And I guess when he heard Pat Perez raise his stink, he was just like over it.
Did Perez react to that?
I don't know.
That's pretty
I don't
funny.
Know. He says they're all saying they want to change golf. They're doing it for the better of the golf. But he thinks they all know it's not even going to be here in 2 or 3 years. They're just doing it to grab the money, and I guess they just find it reprehensible.
I wonder how those contracts are working, because I would assume that the big name guys, the DJs and the Koepkas, are getting, if not all of that money up front, they're getting the majority of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering if it's like a 3-year deal and you're getting it in thirds.
Prorate, I don't know.
And if it disappears next year.
I don't think those guys would do it unless a significant portion of it wasn't already in their account.
Correct. Yeah. But the other guys, you know, the Martin Keimers of the world, I mean, I wonder what those contracts are all about.
Yeah. He actually trashes Phil to the point where he says, I don't think I'll ever talk to him again.
Yeah, that's what Freddie
said. What for? I mean, they were like co-captains together in the Ryder Cup. I mean, they've played together many, many times.
He hates him now.
He says, what for? I'm not in the same boat as him anymore and probably will never play golf with him again.
But it's somewhat. So let's just say hypothetically, Odyssey now owns 980.
Yeah.
But let's say all of a sudden, back in the day when it was two separate companies, Bish Bucks left us for triple the money. We'd understand it, and he just left, and you broke up the Junkies. Would we still be tight with you? I mean,
I don't know. I think probably not. It'd be
so
different.
So they're kind of looking at
it. But you couldn't blame me for leaving for triple the money.
I couldn't blame you. But what I guess Fred Couples' perspective is. But Fred Couples isn't even really on the PGA Tour, right? He plays seniors, right?
Yes,
he still plays the
Masters. But still, he feels it's a betrayal.
It's affiliated. 100%.
It's a betrayal.
And he's big into the dirty money thing.
Right.
But that's the way the old schoolers feel.
Yeah.
You know? Freddie Couples can't really.
And it's a legitimate feeling. In some ways, it is a betrayal. If you believe, like, it's a PGA Tour.
Yeah, but if you believe that you're a true independent contractor... And that these guys have had the ability to play in all these other tours before. Why are they drawing the line here?
I understand there's more nuance to it.
And, yeah.
But looking at the video, because I hadn't seen the video, I heard you guys talking about it during the break or before the show, whatever. It is kind of funny that a lot of the guys do look like Slicky Boy Slimy. All of a sudden looks really with like Phil, the beard. He's got a slicked back hair.
Phil looks awful in my opinion. He's going with this unshaved
look. He does
look
like a villain in a movie. Brooks Koepka just looks like a guy you want to punch in the face.
Brooks Koepka is the epitome of a douche.
What is he saying? You said he says F off to somebody?
In the video, you could just tell he's telling a story.
Oh, he's telling a story. Okay.
Where you could tell he's saying, F off.
Yeah.
You could see him. Brooks Koepka is very unlikable.
He's got to be the cockiest SOB on tour.
I am not a fan. And I know Feinstein loves him.
Yeah.
I am not a fan.
I mean, who knows?
I'm sure he's a great guy if you're boys and you're some stud
from the
athlete.
Media's perspective, I can see why you would think that. But if he was in here, he might be cool. Who knows?
Yeah, he might be if he was in the right mind frame. Who knows?
No idea.
I just don't like him.
You going to watch today?
Yeah, it's at 4 p.m., right?
Yep.
Yeah, he's going to watch.
I think so. I got my big dental appointment today. That's my big to-do list.
He whipped out two little baggies of crowns.
I saw it.
Falling out of his mouth.
Look at that.
These are two pandemic crowns.
When did they fall out?
In the heart of the pandemic.
Oh, okay.
And like no one was seeing anybody. Right. And then I just got used to
it. So they got to put them back.
I don't know if they can because my teeth are so decayed. Yeah. Oh, okay.
It is. I bet they smell so
but
bad.
These things cost so much money that maybe he can
crown.
Maybe he can put them back
so
on.
So you've been down to the nubs for a while.
I'm down to the nubs on like two teeth.
Do you just dodge using those teeth?
Kind of.
Are they on the same side?
Different sides. There's really no relief anywhere. Eating is a chore. You have no idea. All right, let's go to Dwayne. We can't? All right, maybe we do it when we come back. Dwayne,
hey, it's Open Line Thursday.
It is Open Line Thursday.
Hey, the final hour, ask us anything.
If you want to chime in, 800
Mike Prada coming on,
636-1067. We will talk a little more Wizards coming up at 9:20. Don't go anywhere.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.